Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KALW's weekly radio magazine of the performing arts. I'm your host, David LaTulipe. Well, it was quite a challenge putting together today's show, given the rash of cancellations of performing arts venues throughout the city and throughout the Bay Area, not to mention the world and the country. Metropolitan Opera just announced that they're shutting down. The San Francisco Symphony just announced that they're canceling their tour of New York and subsequently of Europe. And this, Michael Tilson Thomas's laureate year to have a final round of concerts. So lots of uncertainty here in the performing arts world. But we do have a couple of guests that will be talking about things that are ongoing or plans for the future. Pocket Opera is with us, and I'll be also talking with some folks from Berkeley Rep about what's going on with the rest of their season. Well, one of the local treasures that we are proud to showcase here on Open Air is Pocket Opera, which has offered accessible, audience-friendly performances for some 40 years. 5 to 10 players make up the full Pocket Philharmonic for lively, entertaining productions. They're fully staged and include concert ensembles and are in English versions by Donald Pippin, the company's founder and artistic director emeritus. General Manager Chung Wei Sung is usually in front of the spotlights with his extraordinary bass voice. He's sung with Australia's Victoria State Opera Chorus, joined the San Francisco Symphony Chorus back in 1994, and has been a soloist in the requiems of Fauré, Mozart, and Dvorak, as well as Berlioz's L'Enfance du Christ and the Handel roles of in Jephtha and Belshazzar. He made his San Francisco Symphony solo debut in 2005. He is now a general manager of Pocket Opera in addition to his singing career. Hi, Chung Wei. Welcome back.
Thank you, David. Good to be back.
And we're also joined by Nicholas Garcia, artistic director, now continuing to carry out the extraordinary legacy of founder and artistic director emeritus Donald Pippin. Welcome to you, Nicholas.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Of course. Happy to have a lengthy discussion today. Given our usual 3 to 4 guests, we're kind of limited today, but we'll celebrate some birthdays as well as get updated on some other performances that are still happening here in San Francisco. Now, one of the things that we just found out is that your final production of Don Giovanni in Palo Alto was supposed to happen on Sunday, so that's been canceled. Is that correct?
That is correct. Santa Clara County, through an abundance of caution, which is probably for the best as they've had the most cases, has put the kibosh on just about any gathering of 50 people or more. And so in compliance with that and for the safety of our audience, we had to cancel, unfortunately. Our singers were so looking forward to doing a third performance.
How did the other two performances go?
Well, we are thrilled to say that our Berkeley performance was a great success, and our San Francisco performance as well. Those were the last two Sundays. We had very nice full houses that were very conscientious hand washers and came and took care to be courteous, conscientious audience members, but they thoroughly enjoyed the show. And our singers gave great performances, our orchestra as well. And so we're thrilled with how it went.
Good. And, of course, planning for the future. And carry on the great legacy of Donald Pippin. What drew you to Pocket Opera yourself?
Well, I started in the chorus of Pocket Opera 23 years ago, in the chorus of Tales of Hoffman. I had just moved to the Bay Area from New Jersey after going to school in Boston. And I opened the phone book to opera. Back when we had the Yellow Pages, and in the Yellow Pages under opera, there were two companies, San Francisco Opera and Pocket Opera, and I figured I wasn't quite ready for San Francisco Opera yet, so I auditioned for Pocket Opera and got cast in the chorus, worked my way up through roles, eventually became the production manager, and then the associate artistic director, and then finally the artistic director.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah. And now working with Chung Wei as general manager.
Yes.
And your association with Pocket Opera goes back how long?
Relatively recent, except as an audience member for many years. So I have now been with Pocket Opera 1.5 years as a general manager. And I've always, besides my own performing career, I've always been interested in the business of music. So when this opportunity came up, I quite literally jumped at it. Because, you know, we are a small company, so it still allows me to pursue my own singing career and other engagements, but also it allows me to, you know, work in a small organization like Pocket Opera, which has been such a San Francisco treasure for, but this is our 43rd season. So I received an email a year or so ago from, what's his name? Mr. Hertelindi. He was a reviewer for Mercury News. He was a writer, and he sent me an email. I happen to know his wife, and he sent me an email that said that he may have been the one who coined the term pocket opera. Because when Pocket Opera first started, it was the only other opera company in San Francisco other than San Francisco Opera. So really, you know, it filled a huge need for performances other than on the main stage. So San Francisco Opera did all the big shows. Pocket Opera was able to do the rare repertoire in sung in English. This is pre-titles, and Donald obviously has an incredible gift of translating witty words into wittier English words. And also Donald very much premiered the concert versions of Handel operas, especially the rarer pieces. So, I mean, to date we have 90
operas in our repertoire.
Yes.
And I think in all the United States we are the chamber opera company with the largest standing repertoire. So at any given season we can pull from 90 different operas, and I don't know of even many main stage large scale opera companies that can say that. So it's quite a legacy to carry on.
And one of the highlights, or one of the features of Pocket Opera, is that you can share those productions and those libretti with other companies.
Oh, that is in fact a big part of our economics as well, because libretti rental, you know, every year there's a good 5 to 10 universities or small opera companies, or even some larger opera companies that want to do a production in English. And because of Donald's reputation and Pocket Opera's reputation, they come to us first. I just got a call from an Australian company that wants to do an Offenbach operetta called The Princess of Trebizond. Now, you may not have heard of this. Very few people have heard of this. But it has been a part of Pocket Opera's repertoire for decades, and is absolutely hilarious. And so I sent them the libretto. They're reviewing it now to see if they want to do it. But, you know, if they want to do it in English, they're probably going to do ours, because there aren't that many other versions out there. And Hawaii Opera Theater in Hawaii, Honolulu, is going to be doing our Orpheus in the Underworld next year. So, Donald's words go worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Offenbach has been sort of a composer's works that has somehow fit Donald's sensibility very well. So we have a large repertoire of Offenbach. So even in France, you rarely hear La Chatte Métamorphosée en Femme, which is The Cat Became a Woman, which is the piece we're doing next.
Right.
So in being the big opera fan that I am, I have never heard of it until
wow.
Pocket. Yeah.
And I have to say, Chung Wai has heard of things that I have in my 25 years as a professional in the opera world, I have never heard. And he says, oh, well, that's from the recording. He listens to recordings and knows which singer it is. And so to find an opera that he has never seen is such a delight to me. It's such a treat for me to show him this charming Offenbach one-act opera, operetta that we pair with Cavalleria Rusticana.
I was going to say, it's usually Cav Pag.
Well, doesn't that make for a bit of a heavy evening? I mean, how many murders can you have in one night?
Well, we should mention for the non-opera operatic indulgers, Cavalleria Rusticana is usually paired with because it's a one act opera.
Yeah.
With Pagliacci by Mascagni.
Yeah, and they're both sort of this very swarthy southern Italian, lusty verismo operas. But gosh darn it, if it doesn't make for a night of very certainly lush music, but it's a bit heavy. So we pair it with this fun, frothy, delightful Offenbach one-act opera to sort of lighten the afternoon.
Well, we did find an excerpt from that opera, and we're going to try to catch it in a minute. But before we do, let's hear what is arguably one of the most famous intermezzos in all of operatic history, and that would be the intermezzo from Cavalleria Rusticana, and then more with the gentleman from Pocket Opera. The amazing intermezzo from Cavalleria Rusticana by Pietro Mascagni. We heard the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra under the direction of Philip Ellis. We'll be hearing that intermezzo as part of a pairing of Cavalleria Rusticana of Mascagni with The Cat Became a Woman by Offenbach in an English version. It's an interesting pairing and quite a fun pairing, I think.
Absolutely.
I'm speaking with Nicholas Garcia and Chung-Wei Sung from Pocket Opera. Nicholas, we have an excerpt from the Offenbach, first in French, as we'll hear it, and then I understand we have one of your artists in English singing that same aria.
Yes, well, what we actually have is in the beginning of her aria, she is doing an invocation to Brahma. She is explaining how the cat metamorphosized into a woman, and she did it by appealing to Brahma, the god, for a transformation. So you won't hear English, you'll hear the word Brahma, but with a dazzling cadenza in whatever version you have, I'm not sure, but then I have it here, the cadenza sung by our own Chelsea Hollow, who is pretty spectacular.
Hear the air diminuet.
Thank you.
From La Chatte Métamorphose en Femme, the Offenbach original there we heard, and it's going to be paired with Mascagni's Cavalleria Rusticana as part of Pocket Opera's productions. We anticipate on Sunday, March 29th at 2 p.m. at the Hillside Club in Berkeley, and Sunday, April 5th at the Legion of Honor in San Francisco. Nicholas Garcia, Artistic Director of Pocket Opera, is joined by General Manager and Basso Profundo, Chung Wai Sung. So we have a little example of Chelsea Hollow, who's going to be singing La Chatte in your production.
Correct. We have her doing the invocation to Brahma to ask to be transformed from a cat into a woman. And so you heard a little snippet of that singer singing it in French. So the only word you'll hear, and this is Brahma, but Chelsea Hollow sings one of the highest notes that can ever be sung by any human being. The singer you just heard was certainly not quite capable of this.
Let's hear it. Chelsea Hollow singing La Chatte. Minette is part of the, just a rehearsal for The Cat Becomes a Woman.
I mean, if you were a deity and you heard that, could you resist transforming her into a
exactly.
woman?
Wow.
I mean,
should remind people that you can go to pocketopera.org to learn more. That's going to be music directed by David Drummond with stage direction by yours, our own guest here, Nicholas Garcia. What's the staging going to look like for that?
Well, you know, Pocket Opera does things on a small scale. So we have just enough to suggest the scene. We have some wonderful costumes and minimal set, but enough to take you to southern Italy for Cavalleria. And take you to the bedroom of Guido, where his cat magically transforms into Minette, and to tell the story efficiently and effectively. This year we've done a few little changes to our setup to sort of advance the theatricality of things a bit. In the past, what people don't realize is that when they would come to a pocket opera show, the curtain was always open at the beginning because Donald Pippin would be warming up. And they would come about a half an hour before the show and just listen to him play. And so the curtain was always open so that he could give his little mini concert. And then about 10 minutes before the show would start, he would stand up, he would take a bow, the audience would applaud, and then the show would begin shortly thereafter. Well, without Donald doing that, we have decided to this year start with the curtain closed to give it a more proper sort of theatrical beginning. And so it'll be curtains up and light the lights and the show will start this year.
Nice. Let's talk about the rest of the season then.
Yes. So after Cav Cat, which is what we call our pairing, We will have...
Or purring.
Or purring, yes. There's been no shortage of cat puns, I assure you. I assure you. It would be a faux paw. That one's actually in the show. We've had quite a laugh. So after that purring, we will have... No Love Allowed, which is Pocket Opera's version of a very rare Wagner opera called Das Liebesverbot.
Yeah, completely off my radar entirely. Yeah,
yes. So I think we were the California premiere of the West Coast premiere of the opera when we first did it 30 years ago, and we haven't done it since. So our audiences, unless they were part of our original audiences from 30 years ago, which thankfully some of our audience still is, they probably won't have seen it. And if you're an opera buff, or a Wagner buff, and you've never seen Das Liebesverbot, this is probably your one chance in the last 30 years, certainly.
But it's not in the buff.
It will be costumed. Yes, right. And I don't care how forbidden the love is. It is based on Shakespeare's Measure for Measure.
Yeah, that's extraordinary.
Yes. I mean, of all pieces to have set to music, it's, you know, people have done Hamlet and Romeo and Juliet and the Merry Wives of Windsor. But
so did this fall early in Wagner's output then? Or?
I believe it was his second opera. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so. Yeah, I'll leave that to our musicologist over here, Cheng Wai.
Yeah, it's so rarely done. Our friends from the Wagner Society of Northern California are actually co-presenting it with us because they are particularly excited, especially since there's been a bit of a dearth of Wagner productions in the Bay Area this past few years. So they are all gearing up for that performance to be followed by a champagne reception at the end after the performance at Hillside Club.
And I think for a lot of them, this show makes bingo because they've seen everything but... And so for a lot of them, this is it. This completes their bingo card for Wagner. And so it's very exciting.
You might have some people from all over the world coming to see this.
God knows.
We're hoping.
We're certainly hoping. When we did last year, we did a very rare Smetana opera called The Two Widows. Again, another sort of pocket opera specialty that no one else does, really. People turned out because there are Smetanophiles out there, and they came to see a show that they're not going to be able to see anywhere else.
And also, No Love Allowed is a comedy, which, as we know, in Wagner's oeuvre is a rarity.
Rare at best.
So it's, you know, at least a double rarity in that case.
And I don't want people to think they're going to be sitting through a five-hour, long opera, Wagnerian opera. He wrote it in his early life in a very Italianate style. It has echoes of Donizetti, and it has echoes of Rossini. It has echoes of early Verdi, Meyerbeer. I mean, there's a lot of different sort of layers. He wrote it when he was 22.
Something like that.
So it is a sprightly, fun, lively, bel canto style opera. So much so that I think the official Wagner people, the Bayreuth, they won't even produce it because they say it's not canon, because it's not Wagnerian enough. So if a Wagnerian opera scares you off, don't be scared by this one. It's going to be charming, lovely, very lively and fun.
Once again, keep putting your stage director hat on for that one.
Absolutely, yes, yeah. If it hasn't appeared in 30 years, you better believe I want to direct it. I'm going to get my hands on that one.
And that will star Ellen Leslie as Isabella, Patrick Hagen as Lucio. Justin Brunette as Claudio and Spencer Dodd as Friedrich.
Correct. And the whole entire cast is wonderful. And we're looking forward to putting it on.
That will be a late April, early May production. Correct. April 26th and May 3rd, also Hillside Club and the Legion of Honor.
Yeah, and I should say don't miss your chance to see that one because, again, it hasn't been around in decades and it probably will be at least another decade before we bring it back after this year, so...
Hopefully you'll spur some other interest in other companies. Yeah,
absolutely.
Before we talk about the rest of the season, let's talk about, these are some troubled times.
Indeed.
For nonprofits, not only this, which could be a death blow to many organizations, the canceling of performances, but also recent legislation that came through in Sacramento, AB 6.
AB 5.
AB 5.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope 6 will cancel.
God knows.
But tell us a little bit about the legislation as you see it and how it's going to affect an organization like Pocket Opera.
Well, the legislation was designed for preventing abuses of independent contract workers. And naturally, we don't want to see any worker, you know, abused and overused and malused. I think a lot of it was directed at the idea of the Uber and Lyft drivers not getting, you know, well treated. There were certainly corporations that fired all their employees and turned them all into independent contractors so that they wouldn't have to give them benefits. We as an organization don't support that kind of thing. But it was written like with a chainsaw instead of a scalpel. And instead of sort of attacking the necessary abuses, it de facto made everyone who works anywhere an employee. And what that, you know, our orchestra are paid as employees, but a lot of our singers, you know, they only work for us once a year, and they are independent contractors as far as we have, you know, felt, and as far as they want to be. The thing is, we wish the law protected everyone who wanted that protection, but if you still wanted to work independently as an independent contractor, being able to choose that. There are a lot of benefits and flexibility to independent contractor life. I myself sing as an independent contractor. I direct elsewhere as an independent contractor. And this threatens a lot of that. I mean, events, operas, our colleagues at Island City Opera had to cancel their production because they didn't know how to go forward with everyone as employees. They couldn't afford.
I know that West Edge Opera is going through some interesting times too with Mark Straczynski talking about it.
Yeah, we're all trying to figure out what to do, what it means.
Do you think that some exemptions are being proffered to Sacramento for situations like this?
I certainly hope so. I mean, while it would be selfish to, you know, say musicians need exemptions, you know, because there are, I mean, there are sign language interpreters, translators, all manner of independent workers that, you know, are getting shafted by this, frankly, that need to be addressed. But if they are willing to do a performing artist or musician exemption, God knows we would be thrilled with that, because we need to be able to plan our future. And right now, the lawmakers seem to think, oh, there's an exemption for fine artists. Well, I mean, in my opinion, there's nothing finer than an opera singer, and there's nothing, you know, finer than a classical musician. You know, does that count? We don't know. And the lawmakers said, oh, we've deliberately kept that vague. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that doesn't help us at all, because we don't know if we're open to any problems. In a perfect world, we would love to have everyone who wants to be an employee able to be an employee, but it incurs about a 30% increase in our costs, and we are as close to the bone as we can be right now, and we employ dozens and dozens of people as independent contractors over the course of our season, and the alternative is to employ fewer, and we pay them, you know, as much as we can. We have fundraised like crazy over the last few years to offer a pay increase to our singers to make it, you know, somewhat competitive so that they can at least pay their rent by singing with us. In order to afford that, maybe we would have to go to saying our chorus is all volunteer. And I'd rather be able to pay a chorus member $500, but the law makes me have to pay them either nothing or as I would a principal artist, and I can't afford to do that. So we're waiting for some clarification. We're hoping that the arts get some relief because we're going through a lot right now.
Indeed. From the unfamiliar territory of Wagner, you move to the really familiar territory of Georges Bizet's Carmen.
Yes. Another one we haven't done in about 11 years or so. And we're thrilled to bring it back. We have some wonderful first-rate singers coming on to do the performance. Ben Brady will be Escamillo. Ben was just at the a finalist in the Met competition, so he went all the way to New York in the National Met competition and sang on the main stage. We're very proud of Ben. He started doing small roles for us years ago when he was just a little baby opera singer, and now he's been on the Met stage, so it's wonderful to have him back as Escamillo. And we have local favorite Nika Prince, whose career is just taking off beautifully. She will be singing Carmen. And we're bringing in a wonderful tenor, Gabriel Cohen, coming in from New Mexico to sing the tenor lead.
Well, since we had the intermezzo from Cavalleria Rusticana, why don't we play one of the most famous entr'actes between acts of Carmen.
Yes.
Here is a flute and harp version. I'm a little biased on that. So here's a flute and harp version of the entr'acte from Carmen. You'll hear a full production of it in English from Pocket Opera in June. Entr'acte from Carmen, performed by the London Flute and Harp Duo here on Open Air. There's a little prelude for you for the Carmen production that you'll hear sung in English by Pocket Opera, music direction by Frank Johnson. That's going to feed for three performances in June. Visit pocketopera.org for more information on that. I'm joined by General Manager Chung-Wai Sung, as well as Artistic Director Nicholas Garcia, to extol the virtues of Pocket Opera, a nonprofit worthy of your celebration, as is KALW, we hope. Gentlemen, I hope you are supporters of your local public radio station.
Naturally.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
And we can do that by calling 800-525-9917. Go online to KALW.org to donate. If Open Air has been a nice, maybe a period of solace for you in these troubled times, make a donation now. You can also text Give KALW to 44321. That's a new feature that we have now. Everyone's texting today. All the kids are texting. Go ahead, do it. Text Give, all in, run on, Give KALW to 44321. You'll get a text back that has a convenient link to our donation page where you can make a donation of your choosing. Text Give KALW to 44321. I'm David LaTulipe, and you are listening to Open Air on local public radio, KALW. Joined by some folks from Pocket Opera, I'll be talking with the general folks from Berkeley Rep shortly to talk about the rest of their season. And we'll celebrate a couple of birthdays before the hour is up. A troubled time to schedule Open Air, as we were discussing with all the cancellations that are being done by the caused by the coronavirus. You know it's a tough time when Peaches Christ cancels her Castro solo show, Drag Becomes Her,
wow,
this Saturday. Now, that's some troubling times.
That is trouble indeed.
She's bulletproof. I mean,
Maybe not virus-proof, but yeah, we wish her health, of course.
Of course.
The Oakland Symphony has canceled their performance on the 20th. The San Francisco Symphony canceled their tour to New York and Europe due to COVID-19 pandemic. Lots of interesting times to see how people weather this amazing storm and whether what the next steps are going to be to recovery.
Well, for right now, we're you know, for better, for good or ill, Pocket Opera is a smaller company with smaller audiences, so we will be underneath the 1,000-person mandate given by the city, and even just under the 250 mandate, or not mandate, but suggestion by Governor Newsom. In terms of people gathering, so
maybe some of these groups can only sell 250 tickets if it's a larger venue.
Well,
so
I think
cut it off.
Harry Potter and the Cursed Child has decided to keep going, but to only seat less than 1,000 people.
Interesting.
Yes,
okay, cool. It's a workaround.
So I mean, it is compliant in compliance, and lets people decide for themselves if they want to. I mean, people will also go a little stir crazy after a while. So.
Yeah.
With some precautions and you know, taking care of themselves, hopefully lots of hand washing. Come out and still enjoy a few things, mm-hmm, while it's possible.
Well, let's hope indeed a solution is on the way rather than just more bad news.
Yes,
yes, indeed.
And stay tuned to local public radio for more updates, of course, as the day and the week progresses. Your symphony ends, the season ends for Pocket Opera on a fun note. With some Rossini.
Yes, we're doing Cinderella, La Cenerentola. We're proud that it's a co-production with Cinnabar Theater in Petaluma and the Mendocino Music Festival. Our conductor, Mary Chun, works in all three places, and so we decided to put a production together that could travel all around, and it's going to probably cover more of Northern California than just about any other show this year.
Fantastic. Performances in July will be at the Hillside Club, but once again in Berkeley, the Legion of Honor in San Francisco, and the Oshman Family JCC in Palo Alto.
And
where, unfortunately, the Sunday's Don Giovanni performance, if you were looking for that, has been canceled. PocketOpera.org for more information. Anything else you want to share about the company or the season?
I think we just want to say that we hope everyone is taking good care of themselves, and that, you know, they have to do, of course, what is absolutely right for them. We want our audiences to be safe. As of right now, we're taking things one day at a time. As of right now, both our venues for the next two shows are open. We have no reason to believe they won't be. If our audiences want to come and not sit in their assigned seat, but sit in a more spread out seat, that's of course fine with us. You know, a good buffer seat might ease some
anxiety. Yes. Yes. The safety of our audiences and our musicians on stage and the orchestra as well is paramount to us. So you know, we take measures like everybody else. You know, hand sanitizers.
Hand washing breaks during rehearsals.
Right. You know, no kissing or hugging.
Instead of happy birthday, have you got an aria for them to sing while they're washing their hands? They're supposed to sing happy birthday twice.
He sings an obscure German song when he's washing his hands. So, yes, it's a lot of fun to see what people are singing when they're washing their hands.
Yes, I sing the second song from Dichte Liebe. It's just about 30 seconds long when I wash my hands.
And you were very kind enough, Cheng Wei, to sing happy birthday to our general manager earlier today, too.
Oh, yes, we were very happy to do
yes,
that.
Yes, it's our delight.
It's a gift of song.
Yes.
From Sung.
Yes, there you go.
We're exactly. Full of puns today.
Exactly.
All right, Nicholas and Cheng Wei, thanks so much for coming in. PocketOpera.org. We heard an intermezzo. We heard an entr'acte. Let's end with an overture. The very
fantastic.
Fun overture to La Cenerentola or Cinderella. And what's unique about these Rossini overtures, which I didn't only learned recently myself, is that everything in the overture has nothing to do with the opera you're about hear.
unlike others, he writes a completely original overtures.
PocketOpera.org for more information. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Overture to La Cenerentola, Rossini's Cinderella, which will be performed in English by the Pocket Opera Company. Check out pocketopera.org for more information. A very music-filled open air for you today. I'm David LaTulipe. We a bit of a scramble to get some current guests on, given the state of cancellations here in the Bay Area. Pocket Opera, one of the treasures, and as moving forward, as is my next guest from Berkeley Rep. Since 1968, Berkeley Repertory Theater has grown from a storefront stage to an international leader in innovative theater. Over 5.5 million people have enjoyed nearly 500 shows at Berkeley Rep, which have gone on to win, get this, 6 Tonys, 7 Obie Awards, 9 Drama Desk Awards, a Grammy Award, a Pulitzer, as well as many other awards and accolades. The Berkeley Rep School of Theater engages and educates some 20,000 people a year and helps build the audiences of tomorrow with its nationally recognized teen programs. And the Rep's bustling facilities now include the 400-seat Pete's Theater, 600-seat Rota Theater, and a spacious campus in West Berkeley. They just produced GATS, created and performed by Elevator Repair Service, with a text inspired by The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald, a 6-hour production that came with a 2-hour dinner break. Here to talk about the current state of their offerings, which includes the return of irreverent, thought-provoking social satire in the form of Culture Clash, Still in America, is Berkeley Rep's Managing Director, Susie Medak. Susie, welcome to Open Air.
Hi, nice to talk with you, David.
Yeah, thank you for at least joining me by phone. It's troubled times for nonprofits right now. How is Berkeley Rep weathering the storm?
Oh, this is so complicated. We're weathering it about as well as anybody else, which is really not very well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the information that's coming out of the CDC and the World Health Organization and the state and local governments is changing almost hourly, and we're all trying really hard to keep up with it. Our top concern is the safety of our audiences, the safety of our artists and artisans and staff, and we're trying to balance a lot of competing interests.
Right.
So it's very messy right now.
And even if it was solved, there's some severe damage done.
Oh, yeah.
You're in the middle of performances by Culture Clash still in America. They've been, you had their world premiere back in 2001. They returned in 2005. What's the state of their remaining performances?
Well, unfortunately, because of a decision we made this morning, last night was their last performance.
Wow.
We just this morning made the decision that we should discontinue all future performances of the show. And so we are just at this minute in the process of notifying all of our audience members to that effect. But I will say we thought that there was a possibility that this might be coming, and so a week ago we did a fine quality recording of the production, and received permission from all of our associated unions and artists. So that we could actually distribute that recording to those audience members who have yet to see the show and who've purchased tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm actually feeling it's one of the few times during this whole crisis when we've been able to get ahead of the curve a little bit.
Right.
Because we know that there were people who really wanted to see it who are going to miss it.
Mm-hmm. And how are you moving forward then in upcoming performances? I imagine planning has to take place, but even in the uncertainty that this presents itself.
Well, what we're trying to do is to look ahead, not get too far ahead of ourselves because information has been changing so quickly. And so right now what we are communicating with our audiences is that we will not be offering live performance between now and April the 5th, which means that the first performances of Schoolgirls, the African Mean Girl play, will also not be available to the public for the next few weeks. We're continuing to rehearse it and to tech it and to operate with the desire to actually be able to have it available to people.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know that there's a very, you know, there's a likelihood or a possibility that all of these short-term bans on performance or recommendations on bans won't be lifted in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're once again looking ahead to that to think about how do we make sure that those people who've signed up to see it will still have an opportunity to see it. And we're taking action to make sure that we can deliver the production to people in one way or another.
Right. Well, I just learned earlier this hour that some theaters have a workaround that they've thought
yes.
up. Have just sold 250 tickets. You know, that's all.
Well, no, actually, we think that, you know, here's the thing that some of us are just feeling that that's not really the ideal workaround because the other piece of all of those, and, you know, and everyone, please, everyone makes their own choices. So this is utterly without judgment of any other organization at all. But our feeling is that particularly because about half of most cultural audiences are over 60, and that there's so many cautionary warnings that they should not be in large groups, and that in some cases it's recommended that they not be convening in groups larger than 10, that our feeling is that this is not just about whether it's 100 people, 200 people, but it's also those people who are nearest and dearest to us and who've been really loyal to us over the years. We really don't want to imperil them either.
Right. Well, Berkeley Rep is certainly going to weather the storm. I have every faith.
From your lips to God's ears.
All right. And keep updated by going to berkeleyrep.org. Susie, thanks so much for taking some time
today. Thank you.
Of course.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Susie Medak, Managing Director of Berkeley Rep. Troubled times for performing arts organizations all around, but there is an organization that is still going forward with their last three productions of the wonderful, if you need to get out, go see A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, a really fun show that's being done at 42nd Street Moon tonight at 7, tomorrow at 8, Saturday and Sunday at 6. 42nd Street, ST, 42ndStreetMoon.org for more information. You've been listening to Open Air here on Local Public Radio. Here's a guest I had recently with an appeal.
This is Sting, and you're listening to KALW San Francisco, your local public radio station, supported by members of the community like yourself. Go to KALW.org and make a donation anytime. Thank you.
We do thank Sting for taking the time to make that announcement for us. Sting was my guest on Open Air a couple of weeks ago. You can hear that archived interview at KALW.org. Search for Sting or look for the Open Air page. A really a fun, long conversation with Sting, who also sang on the air with his guest star and shared a lot of his life. And encouraging you to support local public radio at KALW.org. Or by calling 800-525-9917. Special thanks this week to Neil Swinkles for dealing with the parade of guests and cancellations for this week's Open Air. Stay tuned to local public radio for updates regarding cancellations as well as on the virus itself. And do be safe out there. A reminder that our shows are archived at KALW.org. If you have a show suggestion for a future segment, dash me an email. I'm David@KALW.org. Thanks for listening.